It's all about balancing lives and livelihoods, is it not? That's really the challenge of dealing with COVID-19. Let's start with the economy. We're joined now by Professor Raymond Parsons, who's at the Northwest University School of Business. Their unit there has published their what they're calling the Policy Uncertainty Index, which more or less reveals exactly what the economic picture looks like as far as dealing with all the challenges that COVID-19 has brought to us, including, of course, access to vaccines, borrowing costs, and making all those tough decisions. Professor Parsons, a very good morning to you. Welcome to our program.
Yes, good morning to you.
Let's start with this Policy Uncertainty Index that has come out of your business school at the Northwest University. It's a phrase you commonly hear that, even when we do have policies, we're poor on implementation, but even at the best of times, there can be uncertainty about the way forward.
Well, yes, I think that the sort of basic mantra must be that whether you're in government or in business, or you're a consumer or you are a worker, these are tough times and there are tough, difficult decisions to be taken. And what we have tried to, over the years, through this index, to indeed capture is what is the impact of our policy uncertainty on our economic performance. And quite clearly, what has happened in the past year has, for a number of reasons, had quite a big impact on the levels of policy uncertainty, which are well into negative territory. But I think the important point to bear in mind as we talk about things now is that the South African economy was already in a recession last year when the COVID-19 hit. So all that happened when we had a very drastic and indeed a prolonged lockdown was we were simply pushed deeper and into this recession. So we really took a big knock last year in terms of job losses, indeed in terms of the business failures. And you know what the numbers are. We think we ended up last year probably with a minus growth rate of 7 to perhaps 8%. But the important point was that in the second half of the year, as we began to phase out the lockdown, so we saw quite a significant recovery off a very low base, of course. And so despite the very negative figures of last year, we were hoping as the year ends that we could perhaps see a rebound this year of perhaps 2 to 3% in our growth rate, supported by a strong agricultural sector and also some export growth. But now we have the imposition of the level 3 lockdown again, and that is going to cause all of us to sharpen our pencils and have another look at those numbers, because it's quite clear that we can't be quite as optimistic about the growth this year as we were before we've now had to revert to the level 3 decisions. And I just say it comes back to the issue that we are now facing an economic price that has to be paid for those health imperatives that we now have to observe.
One of the criticisms has been that we were late in the game, even as far as procuring vaccines. The president yesterday promising us 20 million doses. There's no clarity on when they will be delivered, when that process might start being rolled out. A key concern for many observers is whether or not, in fact, we have money in the kitty to deal with this crisis.
Well, I think the important point is we simply have to find the money to deal with the crisis. I'm talking now in particular about the vaccine. Really, if there is a message for this year now, and following on what the president said last night, we must use this year to invest in the vaccine. Because that really, whatever other short-term remedies we have to apply at the moment, we've got to have some light at the end of the tunnel, which is now going to be given to us. The sooner we can access the vaccines and above all, get the vaccinations going, because what I like to say is that the vaccination is what weaponizes the vaccine. And we need to ensure that we have the resources to do so, and we've got to reprioritize our government spending in order to make room for that. It's not going to be easy. it's going to be a very tough budget. But I think the important investment now is to get that, is to get access to the vaccine and to be able to roll it out as quickly as possible in the interests of lives and indeed that of our livelihoods.
Professor Parsons, stay on the line because we're trying to navigate this tough balancing act between, as you say, lives and livelihoods. We're joined also by Professor Alex van den Heerfer from Wits University. He's the chair of the Social Security Systems Administration and Management Studies at Wits School of Governance. Always a pleasure to chat to you, Prof. You heard the president address the nation last night. He's promised us 20 million doses of the vaccine. As I said earlier, we don't have clarity of when and how all of that is going to unfold. Are you comfortable that there is a concrete strategy to deal with the second wave?
No. The second surge, I think we're on the back foot. In terms of the vaccine, I think there's a lot of work still to be done, and that should already have been done largely during 2020. So I think we're starting the year on the back foot, and that is a bit of a problem.
There has been a concern that really what we are hearing announced by the president, by those who are making these decisions, that it's been a bit of a last-minute scramble, but surely we should have known it was going to come to this. People like you have been warning us all this time.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to know why they did nothing for so long, because this is really one of the highest priorities within government. But it doesn't really appear as if the actual strategies that would end the epidemic are the ones they've been working on. But at this point in time, there's no clarity on what vaccines they're actually targeting and exactly how they're going to get them in, and then how we're going to actually roll out the plan. And it also concerns me that they've tried to centralize too much. And that means that if you've got a bunch of people who don't do their job properly, we all struggle. But there are people who are, you know, in the private sector and certain provinces very good at getting their act together. And they should be allowed to also pursue this. But the centralization has also meant that we've put all our eggs in the basket of a group of people who may not always get it right.
Prof, let me ask you this. I mean, we're dealing with this crisis now. We're trying to scramble. We've brought in the private sector. We've got this great acquisition team being led by people like Adrian Gore from Discovery and the like. But is it your sense that we almost had an air of inevitability about the second wave, or the second surge, as you prefer to call it, when other countries were alarmed at far lower numbers than we've started to panic about? Countries with less resources than we do seem to have had a better containment strategy.
Yeah, I think that the current surge that we're going through wasn't entirely expected, but it is largely a consequence of people relaxing their behavior in an environment where the sort of community-based transmission is endemic. So it's going to surge the moment you've got people grouping together in poorly ventilated areas. So you've got to manage those sites and those areas, and we haven't done. And we're still permitting people to go to have 50 people at a funeral. And there's no suggestion as to how those 50 people should actually interact. Other countries have said no more than four. So we should be saying no to those large gatherings. So from the time the surge started to get bad, we've stopped people going to beaches, which is a lower risk than people going into a funeral or gathering in that way.
Do you think political considerations are trumping good sense in an election year?
It might be. It's completely unclear, some of the decisions. I would not have closed the land borders, for instance.
Why not?
Stop contributing. That's not contributing at all. It has nothing to do with the surge that we're experiencing at this point. Gatherings are the problem. Super spreading events are the problem. Not individuals coming through and across the border, but if they come through and go to a pub, then there's a risk. But if somebody comes through, even if they're positive, it's not going to drive transmission in South Africa. And we're basically seeing this increase in cases, not from people coming from elsewhere, but from the behavior in situ. So in Johannesburg, in the Cape Metro, that's where the problem will be, not coming from elsewhere. So the land borders are not the problem.
Professor van den Heever, please stay on the line. I'm going to bring back Professor Parsons into the conversation now as far as what the way forward will be. From an economic point of view, we're obviously all going to be keeping an eye on the State of the Nation address. We're going to be looking at what Dito Mboweni says in the budget in terms of our ability to reset the economy, to recover in whatever ways we can and just try and get out of this. Are you optimistic?
Look, I think what's important is that we already said last year, when we were in the midst of the first wave of the pandemic, that we needed to get on with all those economic reforms and all the infrastructure development that we needed in order to get our sustained growth going beyond the academic, in fact, beyond this whole pandemic, because as the president said himself some time ago, we can't wait. We've got to deal with the pandemic now, but we must put in place other things. So you have had our growth plan and the fiscal plan put on the table. But what our index is saying is we haven't got our act together yet. It's not clear whether you are an investor or a consumer exactly how this economy is going to unfold in terms of those other structural issues which we need to address urgently in the budget, in the State of the Nation address. So what we've said is, there's a great opportunity now as we move into the new year, given what we're dealing with now, that we must use the State of the Nation address and the budget to, as platforms in a creative way to build credibility in our economic direction.
Prof. Parsons, I've got to interrupt you there. I really want to go back to my earlier question to you about money in the kitty. Carol Payton in the Business Day today asks the same question, and she says, we're a country with an almost 2 trillion rand budget. Why could we not find 20 billion rand for a COVID vaccine? Why couldn't we prioritize that?
But that's what I said earlier. I said, I believe in the right of these circumstances that we now face, that we've got the prospect of a vaccine, that we must now catch up and make the resources available. That means you may have to, perhaps we have to reprioritize certain things, but the overriding priority now, I would urge, and which will help to build confidence and reduce uncertainty, is to say, this is now the top priority. And if there are some trade-offs elsewhere, in terms of government spending, we must find the resources, because the most important message of hope you can now give on both the side of lives and livelihoods is to say we're expediting our access to the vaccine. And that is where we've got to build on what the president said last night and make walk the talk is you know, always that particular cliche. In now trying to get the vaccine, we have to show that we're going to walk the talk by finding the resources which will enable us to invest in that vaccine.
All right, Professor Raymond Parsons there from the University of the Northwest. Professor Alex van den Heever, I'll give you the last word on that. Can we walk the talk? The president is promising 20 million doses. Can we get 67% vaccinated, as is the aim?
Well, firstly, just on the Carol Payton article, there's no requirement for 30 billion rand for a vaccine program. We've done the costing analysis, which we published last week, a group of us. It would cost between 7.1 and maybe sort of 8.5 billion rand for a complete vaccine program. 20 billion rand is nonsense. I don't know where the Department of Health comes up with that number. National Treasury has budgeted the amounts, and they should be available. And the private sector is also offered to cover the full bill. So there's no financial constraint. South Africa, the government, the people responsible and for procurement have to get ahead, and they have to develop a proper rollout program. I think it's going to be a tough call to get 70% of the population vaccinated in a 12-month period. I think they should try, but I think they're making a mess of it at this point.
Not comforting words there, but that's what we need to hear, the truth. Professor Alex van den Heever from Wits University.